This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write. And I am back in the studio. My goodness, this is going crazy. And I just sprayed everything. I sprayed myself. I'm getting used to this smell of Lysol, I tell you. It's funny. Anyway, I am here and I am back, and it's so much fun to be in the studio. I miss it so much, and I miss Ed so much, because nobody salutes me at home. I don't know why. Just, I don't write a salute at home, but here in the studio, every time at the end of the program, Ed salutes me, and so I am a happy, happy person. Now, today I've got two wonderful guests, and it's just so wonderful to be able to talk to authors about their journey as writers, the discoveries they've made along the way, and the joy on paper, which is why I named this program Joy on Paper, because whether you're a reader or you're a writer, it is a relief. It's just you have this release that happens when you fall into a book that you can't put down and you keep turning the pages. Or if you're lucky enough to be a writer and you just get drawn into the story and the characters take over your life. So I am so happy. Is Kathleen on? Catherine. I'm sorry. Oh, well, what the heck?
It's okay.
Catherine, why? Why do I? Thinking a little bit of Ireland, because as a matter of fact, I am, because, you know, I started this program on St. Patrick's Day. And it's so funny. Lately, I have been getting emails from all sorts of, you know, publishers and agents whose name is Patrick. I never had so many. And it's like a constant reminder, because 5 years ago, I started this program on St. Patrick's Day. And
that's wonderful.
It was just the most wonderful thing that could happen to me, because not only it was a Tuesday, which, as you know, in the book industry is the perfect day.
It's a big day.
It's a big day. It's so exciting. And the funny thing is, when I started the program, I had no idea. I mean, I knew vaguely in the back of my mind that, you know, I was at that point, I was a buyer of books. I bought every book. That's why I had thousands of books. And I think sometimes maybe my husband dreaded Tuesdays, because he knew I would be buying a book. But there I was. And so I started this program 5 years ago, St. Patrick's Day. It was a Tuesday, which is also a lucky day for Jewish people. It is the traditional day for getting married. Because in the old days, in you know, the old country, Tuesday was the day that people got married. So it's always been considered a lucky day. And since I got married 3 times on Tuesday, and it turned out to be lucky, because actually it was the same man all 3 times.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, because we were in different countries, in different places, and things happened along the way. The first one was in Iran, and then there was a revolution. So that's sort of like, okay, well, not too many people showed up for that one. And then later in Israel for sort of a hippie wedding, and then eventually in America for everybody, you know. So it's funny how Tuesday turned out to be such a wonderful day for me. And so I've got Patrick's and Kathleen's on my mind, I guess, but it's Catherine, and it is Catherine Ray. We pronounce it Ray, although it's spelled R-E-A-Y, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, well, Catherine, what can I say? First of all, the minute I saw the title, I said, well, she's my kind of person. Literature and lattes. Now, that's it. I mean, that describes me. If anyone was going to say, oh, what do you know about Patsy? So literature and lattes.
Literature and lattes.
Because I've my only claim to fame before I started this program was that I had read 10,000 books. And
oh my goodness.
I know that because
that's wonderful.
At one point when we lived in Texas, I had 6,432 books. My husband, I have a wonderful husband. He is he's indulged me for so many years. in the first few years, when I met him, he's like, why? Because we lived all over the world, and so I'm collecting books and collecting books.
Yeah.
And of course,
and you're moving them,
and I'm moving them. Yeah,
and
he
moving all these books.
He had to schlep them. But when we were coming to Florida, I said, okay, I'm going to. I'm a sort of a sneaky person. I said, I'm going to get rid of a lot of books. And I did. I got rid of a couple thousand books, paperback books, which I,
well,
when I got to Florida, I replaced with our
No.
So, you know, but I didn't tell him I was going to do that. So he thought that was really cool. I was really, you know. But anyway, that's why I love Literature and Latte. It's a wonderful book. And on top of it, I just love the name of the town where it's set.
Thank you.
Yes,
Winsome.
Winsome. And right now, today, there's nothing I need more than Winsome because I'm like hyper crazy. I was, you know, in the house for 4 weeks. I broadcast from the house from... secret location in the house. Every week I tried to find a quiet spot where I could, you know, broadcast from because
it
you know, when you're in a condo building, there's people outside doing the lawn. There's a next door neighbors. I don't know. She must have been, you know, putting up new furniture, whatever, banging away.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the hallway vacuuming. And finally, I found out the quietest room in my house was my kitchen, where I have a new dishwasher, a Whirlpool Whisper dishwasher. And it was so quiet that I was broadcasting from the kitchen, and I didn't even realize I was washing the dishes at the same time.
That's incredible. My dishwashers are not so quiet.
I know. Usually they're like freight trains. So it was nice, but I am back behind the microphone, and there is nothing like being in the studio. It is just so exciting for me, and I love it so much.
That's so nice.
So I'm so glad to talk to you. I'm talking a lot today because I'm sort of hyper. I'm really hyper, and I haven't even had my normal 3 cups of coffee. I come from Michigan, from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and up there,
okay.
Finns.
I come from Michigan, too.
Where?
I'm from East Lansing.
Oh, well, you're a troll. That's all right. We like you trolls. But, you know, youpers live on coffee.
I know.
We live on coffee.
More special.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are very special. And, you know, we're just... sometimes, you know, people make jokes of youpers. But you're not going to be one of them.
Beautiful up there.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And I heard you lived in Texas as well. Where in Texas?
Yeah, I was in Houston. We were in Houston for 10 years.
We were in Austin for 10 years also.
Yeah, my boys were born there. But I was so happy to come here. Oh, to Florida. It's like, it is the perfect place to sit and read a book. Everybody's down by the pool. Where are you living now?
I'm outside Chicago.
Outside, okay. Well, that's
Illinois. Nice. So we are still in shelter in place here. If I had a studio, I wouldn't be able to get there yet.
Yeah, we're sort of safe at home, but we can go out a little bit. And I'm spraying everything with Lysol. I'm like walking in a cloud of Lysol. It's weird. So your book is a perfect book for somebody to read right now. They can just get this book because Catherine Ray has written. It's a beautiful book. It's so touching. It's so heartfelt.
Thank you.
The writing is just superior. That's all I can tell people. When sometimes you get a book and you start reading it, and as I said, it starts right off in Winsome. And something about that name, isn't it fantastic? That name just calms you down a little bit.
It does. It evokes community and, you know, fellowship and family and green grass, blue sky, a lake nearby. It's got all of that charm is in that name. I agree with you. I absolutely love it. I didn't come up with it.
Well,
that's why I'm able to tell you I'm in love with it. My editor did, and I really thought she hit it perfectly.
Well, that's fantastic. That the editor would come up with that name, because
I know it means my name wasn't quite as winsome.
It is absolutely perfect. So tell us about this world that you've written about here, and I'll let you do the talking now, because I really want to hear more about this story and how you came out with it, and then after that we'll talk about some of your other books. Okay.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm actually going to allude to another one real quick. Because of Literature and Lattes came from another book. Last year, I wrote a book called The Printed Letter Bookshop, and it also took place in Winsome. It was the first sort of, the first story. I've actually rarely, only one other time, have placed a story in a fictional town. Like you, I've lived so many places that I usually choose towns I've lived in because I know them so well. I know the culture and the voice of the town. But this one, I wanted to create my own so that I could really make that small town atmosphere, but sort of move it around as I wanted to and grow it in ways that I wanted to and not be confined by reality. So Winsome came from The Printed Letter Bookshop. In that book, there's a relationship that is only alluded to through a couple texts. So you certainly do not need to have read The Printed Letter Bookshop to enjoy of Literature and Lattes, but that's where it came from. There's a character in The Printed Letter Bookshop, Janet, who gets a few terse, not very nice texts from her daughter, Alyssa. And, you know, when you were sort of introducing the world of books at the beginning of our conversation, you said how characters take over. Well, this relationship just captured my imagination. It is only alluded to by a couple texts in The Printed Letter Bookshop, but it came to life in my mind. And that's what is explored in Of Literature and Lattes, Alyssa and Janet, relationship, a mother-daughter relationship. And so that's where it came from. And then from there, Steinbeck's novel Of Mice and Men really came to mind, because there's so much about that story. There are many, many great discussion points on it in today's world and contemporary society, you know, studying it. But it's also a story of isolation, of wanting fellowship and wanting community. And I love that kind of pull, especially for the male character, Jeremy, that pull to community and being vulnerable enough to accept community. So a lot went into Of Literature and Lattes. And it really is sort of timely right now, where I feel like I myself am sort of isolated at home, and I feel this pull towards community in any way I can find it, and how important community is. There you go. That's a little bit about Of Literature and Lattes.
Well, I really love the character, Elisa Harrison. It's a really beautifully written. As I said, it's very touching. It's cozy fiction at its very best, where you really
you
immerse yourself in the story, you care about the characters, and your writing is... I always love when I get an author who's, I'm sure of their writing. I don't have to sort of think about anything else. I don't have to think about their writing. It's just solid. Solid is, for me, the best compliment I can give an author, because I say...
As I say, that's the best compliment I can receive. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
You don't have to think, can she do it? Is she going to care? Because you are, and in this case... It's so exciting when characters take over your life, isn't it?
It is. It really is, because they get voices of their own, they become dynamic, they surprise you. And if a character can surprise me, then I know he or she is coming to life on the page, and the reader will pick up on that and be drawn in. If there are no surprises for me, then I don't know that for a reader there are any surprises for them.
Well, you've created a wonderful, wonderful read. I think that I just hope everyone just gets this and takes that time, because we do need a, we need at least a couple hours of something wonderful like this. And I was so pleased that to see that you had at the beginning of the book an epigraph from Steinbeck. And do you have it with you that you can read it, or do you want me to read it?
I do. Please read it.
I've
got it right here.
It's a perfect one.
This really is. It really captured me too. Okay, I got to find the page. Here we go. In every bit of honest writing in the world, there is a base theme. Try to understand men. If you understand each other, you will be kind to each other. Knowing a man well never leads to hate and nearly always leads to love. There are shorter means, many of them. There is writing promoting social change, writing punishing injustice, writing in celebration of heroism, but always that base theme, try to understand each other.
Oh,
and that's John Steinbeck, a journal entry from 1938.
It is perfect. And I was so thrilled to see that you used it. When I got that, when I opened the book and I saw that, I said, oh, I love this girl.
Yeah,
I got so thrilled. So we have some time. First, before we talk about the other, I always like to make sure that I get your web page or your where you want people to go.
I do have a website, and it's Katherine Rae, KATHERINERAY, no dots, just my whole name squished together, .com.
Okay, and people can go there. But meanwhile, let's talk about some of your other books, because there's a lot of I will just say that we have some connections here. So let's talk first about the Bronte plot, Lizzie and Jane. Let's talk about them.
Okay, wherever you like to begin. You name a title, we'll chat.
Okay, let's start with the Bronte plot.
Okay, the Bronte plot. The Bronte plot was my third novel, and I had written two that made very direct references to sort of Austen's literature. I do not write sort of modern remakings of stories. Like Lizzie and Jane, one might think that's a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice. However, it really was a play on two sisters who are quite far apart, named after Lizzie and Jane, but did not have the relationship of Jane Austen's beautiful heroines from Pride and Prejudice. And so they allude to a lot of different Austen books and pull in a lot of fun themes. Well, after writing two of those, I thought, let's turn our eye towards the more emotionally evocative Bronte sisters. And let's have a little journey with a little more sort of fire and heat and sort of emotional, not interest per se, but just a little different dynamic. So the Bronte plot is a story about two women, Lucy Alling, who is 25, and Helen Carmichael, who is 85. And both have, you know, there's no other way to say it, both have done wrong in their lives, and they need to make change. So what the journey really was, what is going to force these two women at very different points in life to make a dynamic change, to make their story better for themselves? And it's an unlikely friendship, a wonderful friendship. It takes them from Chicago to London, to the Lake District in England, and then back to Chicago. So that's a little bit about the Bronte plot, and I had a lot of fun with this novel. As I said, I write about places I have lived, because I really feel you have to have your kind of feet on the ground to understand. And my family and I spent 2 years living in London.
Aha,
and as you know, we now live outside Chicago.
Okay, well, now, I'll tell you. One of the wonderful things, as I said, since I started this program 5 years ago, are the threads, the golden and silver threads that connect me to so many authors. First of all, Charlotte Bronte, I am obsessed with her. Mm. I listen to the Audible version of The Professor at least once a month. Have you listened to the Audible version?
Not the Audible. I mean, I've read it, but I've not listened to the Audible version.
The Audible version is mm-hmm. the best. If I need to calm down, if I just before I go to bed, I will listen to that. I listen to it all the time. I mean, it's I have listened to it perhaps 100 times already.
That's a good endorsement.
It is the best. It is the best Audible book. Next to, I think, Amor Towles, A Gentleman in Moscow. But this is shorter.
It's a gorgeous book.
It is a gorgeous book. And the Audible version is perfection. Nicholas Guy Smith is the narrator on that one. And he's been on the program, and I love him. But the professor in an Audible version is something that is quite amazing. And, of course, as you know, The Professor is an amazing book. When you look
at it. Book.
And you say, Charlotte wrote that at that age with her, how she understood people, how she understood the world. It's quite amazing.
Well, all three Bronte sisters, it's shocking what they wrote, insights into human nature and insights into conflict. I mean, it really is extraordinary.
And now, Jane Austen. When I was, as I said, I was a youper. And I lived up north, and of course, that's where we start. We spend our winters and our summers reading. I became obsessed with Jane Austen when I was very young. And when I was 11, I said to myself, I am going to move to England to live where Jane was born. So I started working jobs. Everything from house cleaning to babysitting to working in a hospital as a candy striper. I saved my money. When I was 21 years old, I moved to England. I bought a 400-year-old cottage in a village called Sonning, which is not far from where Jane was born in Steventon. And I spent so many days walking the land around where Jane was a child. And so
incredible.
look at this thread that we have this connection that you've been there.
Kindred spirit.
Exactly. So I have to have you back because we're going to just have a whole Jane Austen, Charlotte Bronte time. Okay. And we'll talk about our love for these two authors and what they mean to us. For me, I mean, I changed everything. My whole world changed. I moved to England, bought a 400-year-old, it was so funny, I bought a 400-year-old cottage in Sonning, which is near Henley-on-Thames. And when I found it was a real mess. They had put plastic ceiling tiles. They had blocked up all the all of the fireplaces. So I did a real renovation on that house. But so it's real exciting that I was there. You've been to England and lived in England, so you know the feeling, how special it is. I think and anybody who's lived there for a while, we have this special feeling for it. So I'm going to invite you back. You're going to come back on soon. Okay, and we'll have
you,
and we'll talk about all of your other books. But right now, today, we want to promote, because it's really exciting, Catherine Ray's great book of literature and latte. And it's just a book that everyone will enjoy. And I want to thank you so much, Catherine, for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you.
In a month, we're going to have you back. And once I find a free spot in my schedule, because I'm getting, people are sending me books and books and books, but I want to take time for you because we are kindred spirits, because we have the same love of literature and of coffee.
Of coffee, exactly. So we'll share a cup of coffee over the phone line.
At a socially acceptable distance, yes.
Exactly.
Okay, but so I am sending you hugs over socially acceptable distance,
so
because you are an author who just touches my heart. Your writing is fantastic. And thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today to share your joy on paper.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Wow. Oh, she is so nice. Oh, she's amazing. We're going to do some commercials and be... Okay. Take it away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi. This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and in a minute I'm going to be talking to Cindy Resicott. But meanwhile, I want to say thank you. My son came down from Madison, Wisconsin for Mother's Day, and he is here, and I am so thrilled. I'm so happy. Well, it's been too long. He was supposed to be here 2 months ago, and then everything got canceled. And I am so grateful to him for coming down here. We are still doing this, trying to do this socially acceptable distance and wearing our masks because, you know, he traveled through airports to get here. And I was just so thrilled that he did it. And so I just want to thank you, baby, for being here and being here for Mommy and also for Auntie, because my sister Natalie is just as excited as I am, and as all of you know, she is a connoisseur of cozy mysteries, and so it's always wonderful that we have Daniel here with us. And now, we're going to turn to a different type of book, and this is I found it so fascinating. And Cindy, are you there?
I am here. Yes.
Well,
thank you.
Cindy, I am so Really, you know, I'm taking a deep breath, Cindy. I'm trying to find my inner some kind of inner something where I can actually relax. So I'm going to act. I hope that you're going to talk to me in a very nice, mellifluous voice.
I am.
And calm me down, because I have been a little bit hyper between everything that's going on and then being back in the studio. And I don't, this is a crazy time, isn't it?
It is a crazy time. It's a time of when stress can just go past the Richter scale, whatever that expression is.
So you are going to bring us some. I should have had Big Ed in the control room come up with some really calming music.
Oh, yeah.
Because your book is called Finding Venerable Mother, A Daughter's Spiritual Quest in Thailand. So I'm going to let you tell us, and I'm sure that you can do it in a lovely voice. Tell us this story. It is fascinating what you have written here. And I want to also thank She Writes Press. You're coming from them, and they are a wonderful organization. But tell us about this Buddhist nun, a Thai nun, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce it, so you go ahead and tell us about how this trip and this journey that you took has turned into this absolutely wonderful book.
Oh, thank you.
So,
well, yes.
Take it away.
Thank you. My book is about the 3 years that I spent in Thailand and then some. I went to Thailand in 2005 with my husband and son because my husband was working for a large oil company, and they transferred him there. So during my time there, I was looking for things to do and volunteer work, etc. And serendipitously, I went to a conference for women and social change, and I met Dhammananda. Her name is Venerable Dhammananda Pikuni, and she was the first fully ordained Thai Theravada nun. Buddhism has several different schools, and the Thais practice Theravada Buddhism. What's so amazing about Dhammananda is that she taught for 27 years, was married for 30 years, had three grown sons at the time when she decided to renunciate and become basically like a female monk. So in my travels, in the conference that I went to, I attended a workshop called Faith, Feminism, and the Power of Love, which was, the title alone was intriguing to me. The essence of the workshop was that two of the participants sort of got into a heated debate about a subject involving women and religion. And at the end, Dhammananda spoke up in a very quiet voice and said, "We cannot solve anything with anger. Anger doesn't lead us anywhere. It is much more difficult to practice loving kindness and compassion. That is the goal of Buddhism." Well, that struck a chord in me, because I'd always struggled with some deep anger, some rage against, I'll be honest, against my mother, because she was just unfortunately not able to be there for me as a young child. She had other issues going on. So the book really is, I love what you were saying about, I would describe what you're looking for right now as serenity. The book is sort of a practice in about my spiritual journey of coming into my own serenity as a woman, as a person, as an author. And it's a story about spiritual transformation, transcendence. And it's also a story about healing the mother-daughter relationship, which my teacher, Dhammananda, basically said, healing the mother-daughter relationship is the most important relationship that a woman can sort of tend to, or to want to help herself become fully the person that she's meant to be. And along the way, I really learned that if we go forward with a truly open heart, faith, love, and forgiveness is possible. So I was able to come to terms with my mother through the progress of the book.
Well, that was good, because I do meet people who have these issues, and I'm thinking now during this period here where we are in quarantine, some people are in quarantine with their mothers, are far away from their mothers, and perhaps it does put things in perspective. I hope the ones that are with their mothers have really had taken the opportunity to sort of even out and soften the edges for, motherhood is difficult, and not every mother is perfect. I was lucky in that I had a mother who played baseball. That's the thing that I remember most about my mother. She was good at baseball, and she played with the kids in the neighborhood. So it was lots of fun, and I had a wonderful childhood. I feel so sorry for this generation of kids who are living with masks and behind masks and watching people with masks, because as a child, I had such a wonderful, happy childhood, running free, running wild, reading books, spending the summer with a peanut butter jelly sandwich, a book, under a tree.
That's beautiful.
It was such a glorious childhood, and I I just feel so sorry for these kids who are facing this. And I wish that all of you, all of the people out there, if you take time, and this book really, there is a sense of your journey, and that you do find this peace and serenity that we are all looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it was a long time coming in my life. I feel that, I'm almost 70 now, and I have looked back on my life. You know, oftentimes when we reach this point in our life, we think maybe, what do we have to contribute? What do I have to do? And there's so much wisdom that we've gained through our life experiences that it's a beautiful time to embark on really creative endeavors and to share our learning and our wisdom with others.
Exactly. And so tell us,
Dhamma, it's the word Dhamma and Manda.
So Dhamma like and Manda. Dhamma Manda. She's living the life of essentially like a monk in a monastery type of environment, but she's living in the midst of a country that's how many Buddhists are there?
It's 95% Buddhist.
Yeah.
There are Muslims as well. Certainly, but the majority of people do practice Buddhism. And I would add that she lives in an all-female monastery, which is the first of its kind in Thailand. And she has an amazing story because her mother, I think I talk about this in the book, her mother was basically a very strong-willed person. And she, practiced jujitsu, rode to Singapore when she was 29 on a bicycle with the Boy Scouts. She rode from Thailand to Singapore. Anyway, she decided in 1956 that she would shave her head and take on the robes or become a nun, because the monks, of course, they're not allowed to give ordination to women in Thailand. But she decided she was going to go ahead with it anyway, and she did that. And then she took what's called the eight precepts, so she did take on the vows of celibacy and things like that. But that was a really quick summary. Sorry. Anyway, in 4 years later, she established this monastery. So Dhammananda grew up in a monastery. She knew that she wanted to have what's called all the experiences she could gain in the worldly life, until she looked in the mirror one day. She has an amazing history. In 1993, there was a monk scandal in Thailand, and since she was a professor, the media, the news would often call on her to speak in terms of being an expert on Buddhism and Buddhist studies. So she got drafted into this panel to speak about the monk situation, and eventually they brought her onto what's called a Dhamma, kind of a living with hope program, and she became very well known in Thailand, kind of like a media star. So when she decided to quit her job, divorce her husband, take on the vows that a nun adheres to, she found herself looking in front of a mirror and said, she was painting, she said, how long do I have to do this, painting my nails, styling my hair, wearing false eyelashes? All of a sudden, she just reached this point where it didn't mean the same thing that it used to her. So gradually, over the next couple of years, she did decide she wanted to be ordained, and she went to Sri Lanka to be ordained, because they don't allow women to be ordained in Thailand. But let me say that when you spend time with her, she is the most incredible woman. She is immediately, I always felt immediately drawn into her presence. Her whole attention is on you. She talks a lot about being in present time. not thinking about the past, not worrying about the future, which is hard in these times because we have so many anxieties on our plate. But I was just with her in March. I spent the month in Thailand because I'm working on a second book about her. And I was called home because of the pandemic. But we talked a lot about what does it mean to be in present time, where we're not kind of scurrying around in our head, worried about the past, what happened, worried about the future, what will happen, which is really hard to not think about right now. But that's where she would be the most available and the most loving and the most nurturing. And it's hard to describe, but when you're in your presence, her presence, you feel as though you're kind of just loved in a complete and total way that is something I've never experienced before.
Well, you know, for the wife of an oil executive to, you know, wives of oil executives get to travel all over the world and go to all sorts of strange places. But you were very fortunate to have found a place.
Yes.
and a meaningful relationship that really changed your life.
Yeah, and eventually I was ordained by her, which meant that I spent about 3 weeks at her temple. I shaved my head and wore the robes and took on what's called the precepts for a period of about 2.5 weeks. And that was an extraordinary experience. That was life-changing for me. That really kind of brought me deeper into the fold.
Well, I think it's a fascinating book. I think people will find many things in here to ponder, to take exactly what you've done, to take some time to think. And we have time now, so this is a perfect opportunity for people to take and to read your book, which is called Finding Venerable Mother, A Daughter's Spiritual Quest in Thailand. And so I'm happy to hear that you're going to continue this story because now, of course, right now your book is coming out and you can't exactly do book tours, but
right.
But eventually, I imagine that you're going to have quite a few opportunities to travel around America, to meet people, to bring this book to them, and to be able to really tell your story, which is fascinating and I think will help people because, you know, you, as you say, at your age, you still had hang-ups, we call them hang-ups, about your mother. And people have hang-ups about, you know, different people in their life. And as you say, if you can live in the present, forgive the past, even if you can't forget it, but forgive it and go on and make the present. That's what I talk a lot about joy. I name my program
Yes.
Joy on Paper because you have to find the joy in just being, the joy of whether it's the weather, a flower, writing on paper, reading something wonderful like your book, just to find joy.
Yes. And then Dhammananda would often say to me, you know, go outside, look at a flower. How beautiful is that flower? Or just what you're describing. And it is a feeling of total, I'm much happier than I've ever been before in my life and much more just feeling satisfied.
Well, I think your book and your name, again, I want to repeat it. It's Cindy Rassicot. Do you have a webpage you want people to go to?
I do. It's Cindy Rassicot. It's
Rassicot. I'm sorry, Rassicot.
Okay.
Okay.
That's okay. CINDYRAS is in Sam, ICOT.com. And I am doing a virtual launch next Tuesday at 4 p.m. My publisher, Brooke Warner, who you mentioned, thank you for mentioning She Writes Press. They're a wonderful group of women authors, and she'll be interviewing me, so that'll be that is on my website under events. that people are interested in.
Well, I think it will be fascinating to see this and then to read your book. And it's Cindy Rasico. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. It's a joy to be interviewed by you. I feel your heartfelt inspiration. So thank you.
Well, thank you for writing this book, because I think it will be a great help to people. And once we get through this terrible time, I have a feeling for the rest of your life, you're going to be on book tours, out there meeting people and sharing the knowledge and the joy that you have gained through this experience. You know, so I've known some. I lived in Texas for quite a few years, 10 years, and so I knew a lot of wives of oil people who were sent here, hither, thither, and yon. And so many of them actually didn't benefit from it. I mean, they were like mad because they left their country club, or they left the tennis club, or they had their kids had to go to another school. So I was so thrilled when I saw that you really got the most out of this wonderful experience.
Well, thank you. And I do think that in these times of suffering and anxiety, that my book can offer a message of hope. And so I offer that in the truest sense of Donna, which is kind of a word that means donation or giving. I think we think of others, we care for others during this time, and perhaps that's the gift of this pandemic.
Well, you have added to my life just by writing this book, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to. I will put out a message on my social media too about your virtual book tour.
Thank you. And it's actually my pub date today, so it's quite an honor to be interviewed by you.
Well, that's what I love to do, pub dates, because I become sort of part of the history of your life. Whenever you look back on your pub date, and people always do, you'll remember Patsy with a Z and Joy on Paper, because that's what I want to get across to everybody, that there is so much. It's such a wonderful thing to find that joy on paper that you have in writing your book.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great to be interviewed by you.
Okay. Well, you know, when you get the second book, make sure that you're right back here and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
And if you ever are doing a tour in my area, I will come in and meet you, okay?
Well, thank you.
Okay.
And everyone stay healthy.
Okay. And you too. Stay safe and healthy. Okay.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye, Cindy. Okay. Cindy Rasico. Wow. It is a fascinating book. Finding Venerable Mother, A Daughter's Spiritual Quest in Thailand. And the Dhammamanda was named BBC's 100 Influential Women of 2019. And I have a feeling that Cindy is going to have lots and lots of fun traveling through America and around the world, actually, with this book. Well, that's what can happen to you. You never know what's going to happen. When you finally take that moment and you sit down, and it doesn't matter if it's, in this case, it's a memoir, it might be a novel. If you have knowledge of a certain subject, you know, just start writing, because it is so exciting to see your words on paper. And then the possibilities from a book, whether it's a memoir, then you're going to share it. Perhaps you'll do a book tour, or you'll just get involved in the lecture world. And there are so many opportunities out there to speak, and it adds a depth to your life. Instead of, you know, just traveling for no reason, oftentimes when you've written a book, you can set up a book tour to a place where, or a lecture to a place where you want to go. And immediately you have somebody there, people who are interested in you. You make friends. It's quite amazing. You might travel to a small town, or a town that you've never been to, or area. And because you're giving a lecture, because you're book signing, you meet people, and they become part of the fabric of your life, one of those magical threads that I'm talking about all the time. And it's exciting. And all of you, there's a book in you. It might be a book about your family. It might be a book about your work. It might be a book about, it might be a cookbook with stories about where these recipes came from or who ate them with you, where they were prepared. All sorts of wonderful ideas. And of course, I love children's books. And this is also a time that, children really need books. And I'm hoping that, so many kids are going through just the terror of all of this. And it's difficult to understand, but they need books. And so if you have any ability to write a children's book, really think about it, because it's a wonderful thing to bring joy to a child. So I just want all of you to think about the book that you would like to read, or you would like your grandchildren to read, and sit down and start writing. And of course, another thing is poetry. Just to find that joy that you have when you write a poem and you see it on paper. So there are just so many ways that you can get involved and get through this time. You have to continue with the social distancing and being careful, everybody, because it's important that you help so that all of us who have, like, people in the hospital that we want to visit, we need this thing to be over with soon, and just be careful out there. And again, I want to thank my son for coming down for Mother's Day. It's just absolutely fantastic. What a joy for me. Just I want to thank everybody for all of the messages I've been getting, telling me about their what you guys are doing, and checking up on me to make sure that I'm okay. So I do appreciate everybody's email. And you can go to radio-joyonpaper.com. There's a form there you can fill in if you have any questions, if I can help you, make suggestions, or help you with a query letter, whatever you want. I have time. I'm sitting around. Please go to radio-joyonpaper. Meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't unless you start writing. So get to it today, a page a day, and in a year you're going to have a book. Say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. He's saluting me, I'm saluting him, and he's holding down the fort here at Tantalk Radio Network in glorious Clearwater, Florida. And it is glorious. It's so beautiful here. I wish you could all come down, but you can't. Not yet. Everyone, be careful. Wear your mask. Bye-bye now.